This is Mark Lowdy here with the Riyabu podcast, and sitting next to me here at the CFO Innovation Summit 2018 in Singapore is Simon Littlewood.
Mark,
we've had an incredible number of people come by our exhibition stand here talking about things, and one of the ones that we're going to cover right now is the subject of distribution, because clearly distribution is something that a lot of manufacturers have to engage in order to get their product out.
Yes, that's particularly true in emerging markets. You know, companies come here, whether they're small companies trying to grow or whether they're foreign countries, companies coming here trying to penetrate markets. There are too many markets and too many customers in big geographies like Indonesia and China for you to reach through your own resources. So to some extent, many, many companies rely on third parties to get their products to the customer, and just as they rely on them to get their products to the customer, they rely on them to bill and collect from those customers. Not always, but in many cases.
Yes.
Which means I sell to my distributor, he sells to my customer. You know, we at Riyabu, we're about fairness, we're about ensuring that suppliers get paid on time. The reality is that for many companies, that means having distributors who know how to manage their own order to cash process.
And what we learned here at the CFO Innovation Summit is that they don't.
No, they don't. And you know, historically, we've done a lot of work helping companies strengthen their distributor capabilities. And one of the great things about the Riyabu Academy, which will be the leading global database of best practices for receivables, order to cash, is that we will include a set of capabilities which will enable companies to select, educate, bring on their distributors so that distributors are able to represent them effectively, bill and collect effectively, and do not themselves get into working capital issues.
Might one of those best practices be to simply sell on consignment? Pun intended.
It might be, but the difficulty is that distributors are typically undercapitalized. So you have a challenge when you're supplying to a distributor, which is you don't want your distributor to go bust, so you have to balance working capital needs. Most companies accept, because distributors, with some exceptions, tend to be undercapitalized, that they have to provide their distributors with a certain amount of latitude in terms of when they pay. But what you don't want is a distributor that simply can't pay you because he's not able effectively to collect the cash from his own customers. So you need him to have a fundamental level of capability around delivering, billing, collecting, so that he can keep his own cash flow solid.
How can you test this before you sign up the distributor, before you give the distribution license or agreement?
Well, there are lots of things you can do. You can talk to them and you can establish how large they are, what systems they have internally, how they train salespeople, because the reality is, in a distributor environment, that the salesperson, as he is in many organizations in this region, is absolutely critical to the receivables process. It is he or she who first meets the customer, he or she who ordains what the relationship will be, he or she who determines whether or not the issue of payment is even included in the discussion. So, you know, we've had a whole raft of discussions around this, Mark. It's still amazing to me how many companies don't even bother to remunerate their salesmen on whether or not invoices get paid, let alone on whether or not they get paid on time. But the reality is that any organization, again, this is a key element in the Riyabu Academy, is understanding that it's no good just having finance people chasing receivables if you do not have a commercial culture where the salesperson is both motivated and remunerated to some extent on whether or not the sales that he creates are paid in a timely fashion. And there are a whole set of trainings that you need to go through around that, because salesmen may not understand the value of the balance sheet, they might not understand the concept of working capital and funding costs and so on and so forth. So the case needs to be built, the situation needs to be managed carefully, and above all, you need to provide the salesman with a new set of skills so that he can have those conversations.
Yes.
Without feeling deeply uncomfortable.
One of the CFOs that I bumped into in the buffet line at lunchtime was telling me that as a result of the various acquisitions that his company has made, everybody came with different expectations. So when I asked that question, are your salespeople remunerated based on collections or just on sales? He said that was the first question he asked when he joined as CFO. And I said, so what was the answer? And he said, everybody from these different companies had different standards.
Yeah.
So some members of the sales team within the company were paid only based on collections, others based on sales.
Yeah.
And then, so I said, so, you know, how are you managing that? How are you CFO, newly arrived, how are you putting all that together? And he said that collections was the first question he asked. when he signed up. And he asked the question, who's responsible for collections? The answer was sales.
Yeah.
And his next question was, he said, is it in their KPIs? And the answer was no. So, you know, not only did he have a whole field of salespeople who had different expectations, but then when it came to the crunch, they didn't actually have it in their KPIs anyway. So it didn't really matter what the policy is if the KPIs.
That's a very
that.
Common situation, not just among small companies, but amazingly among really very large ones who I've worked with over the years. The reality is, to address your specific example, which is a company that's acquired lots of other companies, the first concern there is that if you as an acquiring company do not have a very clear set of processes and policies around how you measure and motivate your salesman to be engaged in the collections process so that he sets the right expectation with the customer, knows how to field customer objections, and knows how to deal with potential queries when they come up. Unless you do all of that tied to some level of remuneration dependent on payment, then you as the acquiring company do not have a set of best practices that you can then use to colonize the companies that you acquire. And it's amazing to me how many companies go around Asia buying other companies when they themselves lack strong formal disciplines. And the consequence of that is exactly as you've described, that you end up with a whole bunch of companies that are theoretically part of the same organization, but are all thinking and behaving in different ways. There are lots of consequences to that. I mean, one is, of course, that you don't get your money, but another one, which is in many ways as bad or worse, is that when you're dealing with customers, you're giving them different messages. Depending on which legacy organization you've come from,
yes,
you'll use different language, you'll use a different approach, and you'll answer questions in a different way. Customers are very savvy, particularly distributors, and they're very good at spotting those kinds of ambiguities and playing them to their own advantage. So in a very simple situation would be, if different companies have different trading terms with the same customer, then, and this is true whether it's one big company dealing with the same customer around a region in different countries, or whether it's a company that's acquired other companies dealing with the same customers through different legacy sales organizations, a customer will share information across geography, across boundaries to say, what's the longest term that we're getting? Mm. And they will then say, whatever that longest term is, we want it for everybody. Same on price, right?
Yes.
So without a coming together, without a standard process, without discipline, you're already in trouble.
Let's wrap on distributors, which is where we started this conversation. Should you make the distributor the bad guy here, so to speak? In other words, you're a manufacturer, you use a distributor. Do you put pressure on the distributor to pay you and you don't care whether the end customer gets the product? Or do you kind of, you know, keep the distributor on your side and then together you try to work to get the customer?
It's absolutely the latter, for this very simple reason. If you create an adversarial environment with your distributor where what's good for him is bad for you, then you're set for failure. What you need is you need his economics to be the same as yours. So if you're going to measure yourself on working capital productivity, on margin, on efficiency, he needs to be measured on the same things. He needs to understand what those things are from the beginning, and you need to share data. One of the key things here is having transparent data about what's going on in his organization. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about the commercial sphere, you know, how much time are my salesmen spending and who are they spending it with, or whether you're talking about trading terms, collections, those kinds of things. It's absolutely critical that you're on the same page. And where you're not, where the distributor sees it to his advantage to hang on to cash as long as he possibly can at your expense, you can end up with very, very difficult situations. You know, one of the worst situations I've ever seen was with a large American company where distributors owed them so much money that they couldn't afford not to go on doing business with the distributors. Because at the end of the day, if they'd stopped supplying product, the distributors would have just said, okay, never mind.
Yes.
And they'd have lost a chunk of the market and a chunk of money. So having a good understanding of distributors, having a disciplined environment with the distributors, picking distributors who think and behave like you, or can be brought to think and behave like you, is absolutely critical. And Riabu Academy, Riabu is about getting paid on time. And if you're working with distributors, that's all about having a set of clear disciplines and best practices that you can help your distributor to adopt.
This is the Riabu podcast coming to you from the CFO Innovation Summit 2018 in Singapore. And in the next episode, we'll be talking about the hospitality industry.